Welcome to your headquarters for knowledge and helpful advice on a variety of topics, all from trusted experts in their fields. It's time for River City Podcast.
Elizabeth McMaster is the founder and owner of the law offices of Elizabeth McMaster PLC. After graduating from the Catholic University Columbus School of Law in Washington, D.C. in 2006 and passing the Virginia State Bar, Elizabeth opened her practice in historic Fredericksburg, Virginia in February 2007. Elizabeth specializes in elder law, estate planning, guardianship, probate, special needs planning, and mental health law. Elizabeth grew up on a 106-acre farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which spurred her love of history, especially the U.S. Civil War, which led her to attend college in Virginia. Although born in Pennsylvania, Elizabeth is now a Virginian at heart. Elizabeth is a member of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys and is a board member for the Virginia Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Elizabeth is also a member of the Virginia Beach Bar Association, the Virginia State Bar, and Suffolk Business Women's Group. Elizabeth has been on the board of the Alzheimer's Association, which is near and dear to her heart, as she has lost a grandmother, grandfather, uncle, and great-uncle, as well as countless clients to Alzheimer's disease. Elizabeth moved to North Suffolk, Virginia in December of 2020. Elizabeth lives with her husband, John, his adult son, three French bulldogs, and a very sweet black cat. When not assisting her clients, Elizabeth loves to listen to true crime podcasts, go to the beach, and hang out with her Frenchies. Elizabeth, welcome back to River City Podcast.
Thank you, Jess.
So today we are talking about blended families, and I am definitely the queen of blended families. So I'm glad that you and I are able to have this conversation. And the funny thing that people say is third time's the charm. For me, it was four.
Hey, whatever works, right?
But we got there and it's good. You know, it's really important, I think, to talk a little bit about why you really need to update and discuss your estate planning when you are getting remarried. And I'm hoping that you have some really good insight for our listeners on this topic who may be in this situation or find themselves in the future. So tell us a little bit, I guess, first of all, why it is really so important to have that update done.
Could be an update, or maybe nobody has a will to begin with. Good time to say, well, maybe we should think about this, but we could have different scenarios. So if we have somebody who doesn't have a will already, and we're on marriage two or three, and there are children, we have a wife who maybe doesn't have children at all, or she has one child to a former marriage, or it could be a union, or could be just has a child and wasn't married. So we're going to pick on the husband since men die younger. So if the husband dies and she's still alive, but there's no will, there's no trust, there's nothing. And they own, let's say, real estate. And then let's say they have a rental property that is just in his name. Then the real estate is going to, that real estate that's not in her name would go, two-thirds of it would go to the children, and one-third would go to her as a surviving spouse. And then that's how the statute is written. We're leaving out the main marital home. Generally, husbands and wives own the marital property as tenants by the entirety with right of survivorship. So when he dies, she gets the house. We're talking about other property that could be out there. That's in the event there is no will or trust. Those kids are entitled to two-thirds, and she's entitled to a third. Interesting fact, in Virginia, you cannot disinherit your spouse unless you have a premarital or a marital agreement that says my wife gets nothing from my estate, I get nothing from her estate. You can do it that way. But otherwise, there is a right to a spouse to have property when the other spouse dies.
You're saying that has to happen before the actual marriage takes place?
No, it can be after.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be premarital, or it could be what we call marital, which happens afterwards. So, and that's all I know about family law. That is what we have in place in the statute. Generally, when we talk, intestate really kind of takes over mainly when there's no spouse or no children, and then we kind of go down the line of succession. It's best when we have a blended family situation to do a will or do a trust. One of them was the blended family, where they would say, we want to treat all the children equally. That's nice because that makes everything even. So we did what we call the I love you will. So husband dies, everything goes to wife. When wife dies, everything goes to the children, then that's great. However, the wife can always change her will.
Right.
So there is that. So let's say wife, husband dies, wife, her will says yes, everything to all the children. So he had to, she had to, everything to. Then she remarries. Okay, well, how about I just leave everything that my husband and I had, deceased husband, to my new spouse? So she dies and everything goes to him. She can do whatever she wants in that situation.
What would be some options if people are in a situation of having a blended family and having kids maybe from previous marriages to kind of make it fair for all? What's sort of the best scenario you would recommend?
I would probably recommend doing, it has to be a, you know, husband and husband or wife and whoever it is, they need to speak and decide what they want to do and make that decision. But one way to do it would be they could each do a trust or they could each do a will and leave a specific amount to their children, to their spouse, however they want to configure that. If they are in fact worried, okay, well, what if my wife remarries after I pass away and she wants to give everything to her new spouse or just to her kids and that sort of thing. So that would be one way to do it. Another way would be to do a bequest that is not even through a will or a trust, and those are non-probate assets. So for example, let's say you and your husband have IRAs. You put on your IRA, you want your children to get what's in your IRA, and he puts in his, he wants his children to get that. That would be one thing to do. Same with the 401k. It could be life insurance. It could be however you want to configure that. You could have certain investment accounts where the beneficiary would be your children. So that way, it would definitely, when you pass away, it would go straight away to your children. It would not even come into your estate. So that would be one way to do it. If you didn't want to go through the route of doing a trust or a will, you could do that. You know, a lot of this is you can only control but so much from the grave. And I tell my clients that all the time. If you have a couple, let's say they're in their 80s, what are their chances of them really remarrying? It's possible, probably not going to happen. If the couple decides, well, this is what we want to do, we're going to leave everything to the children equally, and you just have to trust that that's the way it's going to be. If their intent was still the same and they had another child, they could, you know, you can always update your estate plan. The estate plan could be updated to include the new child. Do it that way as well.
So the one that passed away, his was what it was. And isn't yes. changed. Okay, I got it. Yeah. Should I just sit here and create all sorts of scenarios for you?
I had one time where it was just a straight up will for husband and wife. They just wanted a will. They had no children and they had charities they wanted to leave everything to, but they were different charities for each. They said, well, what happens? I said, well, the last of you to live wins. And you have the charity, they were doing what we call the I love you will. And the I love you will is everything to my spouse. And then upon my spouse passing, this person gets person or charity or whoever it is. And so in their situation, everything was going to the spouse. And then when the spouse died, then it would go to the charity. So what we were talking about is, well, whichever one of you survives, then the charity.
Your pick. So what happens when you ultimately maybe trust the wrong person?
In that scenario, let's say you are a child of a blended family. So your father remarries and the spouse, his wife, has children from another marriage. Your father leaves everything to his new wife and he dies. The wife now has everything. The right thing to do would be to leave it to everybody. So her children and his children, or she could just leave it to her children. There's nothing that can be done about that because the ball is then in her court.
Why do you think that we are so innately as human reluctant to discuss real estate plans when even going into a new marriage? I mean, how often do these conversations happen and do these plans get put into effect in your experience?
I think conversation happens. It's just the execution. For example, I met with a couple several weeks ago, and they started working on their estate plan 10 years ago, and they just never did anything. I just think, and you can look at, you know, TV shows and for decades where there's always a episode about we need to talk about our wills, and there's always a hesitancy because people really just don't want to think about dying. And that can be if they're been married to the same person for 50 years, or if they've been married four times, five times, and they just are like, well, this is going to be a mess. They just don't want to think about, I'm not going to be around for this. The older you get too, the more you realize that one day you're going to die. It's just one of those things. I had a client one time who was 90, 91, I want to say, and he didn't have an estate plan. He didn't have a power of attorney. He didn't have anything. And so I was meeting with him. He had one child. He was married, but his wife was pretty far gone with dementia. So there wasn't much I could do for her. I said, do you think you need an estate plan? Do you think you need a will? He's like, you know, I don't think I'm there yet. What age are you there? Because you're 91 years old. How old do you think you're going to be? Even at 91, this man was not quite there yet.
He sounds like somebody I'd like to hang out with.
He dragged his feet. He signed everything and he was gone 6 months later.
No, maybe he knew the minute he signed. So let's say there is the couple who is going to be getting remarried, who has kids from a prior relationship, who has the wherewithal and the sensibilities to go ahead and come up with a plan, mutually agree on what they want to do. How complicated of a process is it once they reach out to you and share their plan to get that sort of official and move on from it so they don't have to think about it anymore?
They just have to talk about it and decide, this is what we want to do. This is how it's going to be. I've had people come to me too that already have a premarital agreement that says she gets nothing. And then it's basically just doing a plan for each of them. So however they want it to be structured. So there is that too, where they will determine it prior to getting married through a premarital agreement. You know, everybody's different. Everyone's situation is different. And then you do have, you know, we're talking about blended couple, blended families, but sometimes these blends happen when the child is 5 years old. So the only father this child has known is stepdad. Even though stepdad may have never officially adopted the child, this is dad. Everybody's situation is different. And that man is, of course, not going to disinherit that child if he raised the child. If it's a child that was raised by the other spouse, then they generally are treated just as a child that was born of both of them. So I found that as well.
Elizabeth, if somebody is ready to get started with putting a plan together, an estate plan, because of getting remarried or any other reason, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, the best way is I would direct them to my website, which is themcmasterlawfirm.com, and they can see all the services that I provide. They can also send me, there's a form on there where they can contact me via email, elizabeth@themcmasterlawfirm.com, or give me a call at 540-371-1181. And we can get the process started. And they don't have to know exactly what they want, but they just need to kind of start that conversation. And if they prefer to start that conversation with me, then I can kind of guide them through as to what they can do or what their needs are. And they could have special circumstances. For example, one of them may have a child that has special needs. That would be something that we would discuss. Sometimes we have a child who may have a substance abuse problem. That is also another thing that we need to talk about as well, and what we can do in that situation, or a child who's mentally ill. There are all sorts of things that could pertain to an individual that they haven't even really thought about, or they don't have a solution. They could sit down and say, well, we need to do this, but we don't know what to do. My son is bipolar, and you have a daughter who's got Down syndrome. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this? You just have a lot to kind of go through and talk about. Attorneys are called counselors at law, so we counsel. And part of that counseling is kind of going through and saying, okay, what is your special circumstance? Because everybody's circumstance is different. Your circumstance is different from your neighbor, from the neighbor beside them. There's just not going to be one solution to everything.
Well, and you're there to help them navigate through it. So we appreciate you in the Virginia market for helping us get through these complicated matters.
Well, thank you very much. I tried to do my best. And if I don't have an answer, I will find one. I will do my best to find one.
And God forbid, do not get on Google and try and figure this stuff out, because you will get some crazy information.
Yes, that's right.
Go straight to the source.
Google.
Yeah, yeah. You need a professional has a full
Google
education. Yes.
Yeah, the neighbor told me. So the neighbor has been replaced with Google. So now it's Google has told me that I need to do this. We still have a neighbor. The neighbor's still there. And the neighbor will pop up here and there. But it's generally Google tells them this, that, and the other. So that can happen to anybody, especially during our guardianship discussion regarding Britney Spears, where everyone assumed that Virginia had the same laws as California.
Thank you for being here and for our community. And thank you for being on River City Podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Jess. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to River City Podcasts. If you're interested in setting up a podcast for your business, go to rivercityconsulting.com.